But here's Mississippi State up big in the second half. That ball is knocked out of the hand of Card, and that is being...
Here's Cooper, four-man rush for Florida State, going to cut it loose. Phil Yaw Johnson caught it inside the 10. Phil Yaw Johnson on his feet, he'll cut back, and Jacksonville State has won at the horn.
It's now time for the return of the College Football Rewind Show on Podcast Network 49, where we take a look at all of the best action from the previous week's college football slate. And we break it down for you, the fans. It's the College Football Rewind Show only on Podcast Network 49.
Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome in for our National State Sports Podcast listeners. A little bit of a surprise here. We're trying something new. We're launching the College Football Rewind Show during football season. We will continue the College Football Rewind Show as we go through, you know, the list of the top 10 inside of the country, or what's what used to be the top 10, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But also, we talk about Arkansas's game of the week, as well as a few other good games during the week. Of course, if you're new to the channel, new to the show, go ahead and give us a like on YouTube. Hit the subscription button and the notification bell. That way you're subscribed and you're notified whenever we update. If you're on Facebook, go ahead and like and share the page. And, of course, if you're on any of our audio-only platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc., go ahead and subscribe and leave us a five-star review. But with that being said, after an incredible weekend of football, I bring in my co-host, Mr. Mike Pettis. Pettis, how are you doing this week?
Oh, phenomenal, man. Could be better, brother.
Hey, I certainly understand that, man. I'm digging the shirt after this weekend.
Oh, yeah, man. Big-time victory for that program.
Big time. And let's go ahead and get into it. Arkansas versus number 15, Texas. No videos this week, but Arkansas defeats Texas 40-21. Number 15, Texas at that. In Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium, Texas now 1-1, Arkansas 2-0. I want to throw out some numbers to you before we get started here. KJ Jefferson, 14 of 19 for 138 yards and 10 rushes for 73 yards. What was your overall impression of KJ?
Wasn't spectacular, but, you know, a solid performance. Led his team, played with confidence, didn't make big mistakes. You know, just allowed the game to come to him and not listening to the noise as far as trying to prove something to fans or, you know, the naysayers or people that think he should throw for 300 yards and rush for 200 yards every game. So his performance was solid. You know, he did what was needed. It'll be a game-by-game situation where you'll need KJ to throw for 200, 250 yards. You take what the defense gives you.
I would agree. You know, it's interesting. There was a lot of comparisons Tessa Tor and Greg McElroy made last night between KJ and Cam Newton. I'm not quite sure. As much as I'm an Arkansas fan, I'm not quite sure I understand the comparisons. But I want to point something out. You know, you hear so much in football that they talk about a team finding its identity. I think we found our identity. We're not going to pass for 300, 400, 500 yards per game and then, you know, have the quarterback rush. You know, even the Matt Jones comparisons here with KJ, I don't know necessarily that I would even stretch it that far. I think this offense has just found its identity. I look at this offense a lot like I look at Kentucky last year. However, I think KJ is a much more mobile, much more athletic quarterback than the receiver Kentucky had playing quarterback last year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the first leg of that, of course, the Cam Newton thing, man. I think that's just because of his size in the the, you know, kind of from the Southeast. That's a lot of pressure to put on a kid, an exceptional college player, with that being said. But, you know, as far as the, what was it? You said the performance. What was the second leg of that?
I said that I think Arkansas found its identity.
Yes.
We're not going to, you know, we're not going to pass at 500 yards. Right. We're going to be a running team.
Right. First of all, their head coach is an old offensive line coach. And we know the SEC, Mike, the trenches have to be solid for you to be successful, which means you have to run the ball and you have to stop the run. So let's not get it twisted. That is our staple. That is our bell cow. It's run first, let's face it. It's going to be games where you're going to need more from KJ and for the receivers and the offense. It's kind of old concept. You have to be able to pass when you want to, not when you have to.
Exactly. And, you know, it was interesting. Arkansas, hats off to Kendall Briles and Sam Pittman, because they were able, even though, you know, pretty much it was line up run, it was just pick your poison who you want to run the ball. They were going to run it. It was interesting last night they pointed out that there was three different rushers that got a lion's share of the rushing yards last night, none of which went over 100 yards. It was definitely a run-by-committee squad, but overall, we got over 300 yards rushing on the ground against number 15 Texas. And again, obviously Texas came in a little overhyped, but you know, definitely got to give it up to this number one, the offensive line, and then KJ, Kendall, and Sam Pittman for coming up with this game plan.
Yeah, the offensive line is the true MVP of this game, man. You got to understand that, you know, we realized it didn't take a 100-yard rusher. You had a cumulative of 300 yards, which means your line dominated a quote-unquote great defensive line coming into the game. I think they were exposed, and I think Texas kind of overlooked the fact that, oh, that's Arkansas, but what they got to realize that Arkansas school's been in the SEC for 30 years, so they know what it takes. It's just getting to that point and getting those athletes 2-3 deep instead of one. You know, being Alabama, they go 3 deep and not missing.
Well, and, you know, they mentioned the defensive line last night. And once again, hats off to the defense. Holy crap. When was the last time we were able to say we have a great defense in Arkansas? And it starts from that linebacker position. But they talked about how we were 3 deep in the defensive line. All credit once again to Sam Pittman on that one.
Oh, definitely, man. I mean, like I said, man, you have to be stout up front and solid on both sides of the line of SEC. Mike, to even compete, to even take the game in the fourth quarter with the Florida or Georgia or South Carolina or Ole Miss. And that's what Oklahoma and Texas is about to find out. Texas got a taste of it. Some guy made the comment that the 12th team in the SEC, you know, beat Texas. I'm like, okay, how about the 11 in front of them?
Very true.
They found out real quick that the brand of football in the SEC is totally different from the Big 12. It's very physical, in and out, every freaking play. So that's just what it is, man. That's a tough conference.
Not to mention you have to have a defense in this league. And let's be honest, you know, the Texas defense was highly touted coming into this thing, but Arkansas completely shredded them on the ground. One thing I want to point out, so, and I don't think this was fair. I'm going to point this out and attack the media here. Going into this game, there's a kid that is running the ball in Texas right now by the name of Bijan Robinson.
Great running back.
I'll give him that. I mean, the kid had all the potential. Here's the thing, though. Yesterday, one thing that rubbed me the wrong way was they said this kid is going to be the best running back in Texas history. Don't put that on that kid. Because when you put that on that kid, you get what you got last night. 19 rushes for 69 yards against, let's be honest, not the best SEC defense out there. Right. Love our defense, but not the best SEC defense out there. Right. 69 yards. this kid isn't going to be this kid isn't going to be Ricky Williams. This kid isn't going to be the best running back in Texas history. But let this kid be this kid. Let him do what he needs to do. Hell, he may turn out here in 2-3 years. We look back and see him as the best. But do not put that pressure on, especially on a freshman.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that to any kid. That, you know, that's tough to hold for any 19-year-old. So they definitely should do that. They should state that you should be great as you can be. You can be great as you want to be. You know, put it all back on the individual. Don't set the pedestal so high that they try to reach it and they bomb out, but they're never the same. They bottom out, they're never the same. So that's not fair to that kid, but I definitely think he's going to be a great running back. He has
absolutely
all, you know, they just ran into a buzzsaw last night.
I would agree. Of course, I think the official attendance last night, 73,000. Here's another kid that came in highly touted, but he just couldn't get it going. Hudson Card, the quarterback for the Longhorns, that started the game last night. Of course, he was relieved by Casey Thompson. But, man, I don't know whether it was the perfect storm of Arkansas's defense is just that damn good, and Hudson Card is still, you know, one of them elite quarterbacks. Hudson did not look good last night. He looked very rattled. He looked like the freshman that he is.
Mike, we got to remember, man, you know, it's always half full and half empty. We all know that. But at the same time, it's still early in the season. It's both
absolutely
a football team's second game of the season. Let's face it, Mike, we weren't looking at Rice, and you can tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's obvious they were looking over the schedule at another team in the state of Texas, which is the flagship school, University of Texas, which is our arch rival. So it's not far-fetched, or I'm not amazed that they overlooked it. Now, with that being said, we're probably not as good as we think we are, and Texas, put it like this, Texas probably ain't as good as advertised.
Absolutely.
We're probably just not world beaters, but at the same time, each and every game you grow and get better. You get that confidence, you start to think if you're winning, it's going to be hard to beat us. We can't be beat. You know? So you develop the attitude. It's not like one of those cocky things of you got so much bravado that any team in the country can't beat you, a la Jacksonville State, Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
You gain confidence that, hey, we can win. We can beat anybody that we face if we compete. We don't turn the ball over. We execute. So that's kind of how I look at it. We're not as good as we're going to be, Mike. Not at all. And Texas ain't as bad. They're not going to be that bad. They're actually going to be pretty good.
Absolutely. So I want to throw the numbers at you here. 8 of 15 for 61 yards for Hudson Card. Casey Thompson, 5 of 8 for 57 yards. Card, of course, that costly fumble that you saw that gave the momentum right back to Arkansas. And that was, you know, another beautiful thing. You saw the two really big ones that I can think of was the interception by KJ, the fumble that was overturned on the opening punt, and then, of course, the fumble by Card. It seemed like every time we needed him to answer the bell for once, and this is the difference between Arkansas of the past, probably even before Bobby Petrino, and the Arkansas now, is when we need that defense, they're answering the call.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. They're definitely answering the call. They're getting off the field. They're getting three and outs. They're getting big plays, and they're getting huge turnovers when needed.
That's absolutely big.
I
said it last night early on. It's like our defense was playing in Texas's backfield. But I wanted to ask you real quick what you thought about the kid that came on in relief of Hudson Card, Casey Thompson. What did you think about him? I mean, the numbers, he had less passing yards, yada, yada, yada. But overall, he adds a element that Arkansas showed that they had trouble with when he started running the ball.
I think Stark did us a favor starting Card instead of the Thompson kid because he does add another element with his legs. And he played last year. Let's face it, he's played college. Now, Cord or Card, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, Was he a redshirt freshman? Has he even played? I wasn't for sure. I didn't pay
too much attention. I think he is a true freshman. Hold on. Let me see here.
He looked kind of lost at times, man.
He's a true freshman.
Yeah, you could obviously tell that he was a true freshman. That was a lot to ask for him.
First time on the road, 73,000 people screaming right on top of you.
I don't know if Stark decided on a starter pregame. I think he announced it, you know, warm-ups or
right.
And I'm sure we prepared for both guys, but Mike, I can almost promise you, when Dan Odom and the rest of the defensive staff and the players found out it was Thompson, they got to sign a relief because you got a young guy and your package changed for that. You can throw more at him.
Absolutely.
Level. So I think it played into Arkansas hands, and you can tell at times. He was absolutely confused at times when they changed up the blitz packages and the things up front and stunning and things of that nature. So I think it played in Arkansas's favor. With that Thompson kid, I wouldn't doubt if they go kind of two-headed here for a minute, but he should probably start.
I would agree. I mean, again, nothing against the card, fella. It was a mistake in my mind, and it makes me question Sark a little bit, that he would throw that kid out there with knowing the environment he was about to walk into.
He wouldn't be at the University of Texas starting if he wasn't a good athlete, was capable of being successful. So I'm smart enough to know that, and we can get credit where credit is due. So I think he'll be fine, man. Well, like I say, Dan Marino could have been back there last night. That was a hungry, determined bunch.
Absolutely.
The whole country. Hey, we might not be back. We're going to fight tooth and nail every game. And quote from the great Sam Pittman, pardon me, Mike, those days were getting embarrassed. The teams we're supposed to compete against or even beat are over with, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take that for what it's worth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, getting into now the number one team in the country. There was no letdown there. Alabama destroys Mercer 48-14. No rat poison at all. Bryce Young is as good as advertised, is he not? I mean, this Alabama quarterback factory is just insane. The kid goes 19-27 for 227, three touches, no picks. And on the other side, Fred Payton started for Mercer, 9-15, 159 yards, two touches, and a pick. Man, Mercer it's one of those situations that anytime Alabama, it's one of those things you just hold on for as long as you can until you get bucked off.
Yeah, they were just out, man, Mike. I mean, we all understand that. You come in and, you know, compete as hard as you can. The people who have pro aspirations show the scouts that they compete with the best. And, you know, you fight as hard as you can. But we understand that they were out, man, from jump. So you expected what happened.
you absolutely expected what happened there. And Brian Denny, Alabama 2-0 now, and 1-0 obviously at home. Mercer 1-1, 0-1 away from their home. Here's the thing. I mean, I know we say it every year, but talk me out of this if you think I'm wrong. There's Alabama, then there's everybody else. And I think we're getting proved that every week, week in and week out.
It's so cliche, the past. It's everybody. It's Alabama and the rest of the field.
It absolutely is. I mean, we're learning that with Clemson. We're learning that with Ohio State, as we'll get into that in just a few moments. But it's just – literally, I haven't seen Alabama hiccup, but everybody else is having those hiccups, and it's becoming a large, large problem that college football is going to have to deal with. Moving on to another team that didn't hiccup at all, UAB versus Georgia in Athens. Georgia gets it done 56-7. 2-0, the Georgia Bulldogs now, 1-0 at home. UAB 7 points. They are 1-1, 0-1 away from Birmingham. Here's the thing, man. I'm impressed with this. A lot of people were kind of doubting Georgia's offense. A lot of people were worried about Georgia because JT Daniels didn't look good in that Clemson game. I say pump your brakes. Number one, it is Clemson. Even if they are, you know, a little bit down, they're still a top 10 team.
Right.
It's still fucking Clemson. He's right. Going to look a little rough.
They probably won't lose again. Right.
Exactly. Here's the thing about all of this. I think it's, again, Georgia is a lot of people are going to complain about this. It's going to stay 1-2 for me. Honestly, I believe it's going to stay 1-2 the whole season. Georgia won't play Alabama until Atlanta. I don't think Georgia's losing again. I don't think Bama's losing this season. Am I right or wrong?
It's not a possibility. It's probably a probability. So, yeah, it's not far-fetched, Mike. I might not go as far and say they'll both be undefeated when they see each other, but they both will be in the top three or five, fighting for Atlanta and fight for an opportunity to get in the college football playoff. Anything can happen, so I don't want to jinx anything, but it's Alabama and the rest of the field, and slightly Georgia underneath. If anybody can compete against Alabama's Georgia, maybe upset Alabama's Georgia because they're in the SEC and they've been real close. And, you know, they're kind of microcosms of each other. You know, they mirror each other. A lot of things they do. Each other's backyard, SEC. I mean, you know all the similarities, man. So much alike. So if anybody can do it, it's that Georgia bunch. And like I said, Mike, it ain't far-fetched. They could be undefeated, but they'll definitely be up there. That's a scary team. I like that team. That's a real good team. That defense, Mike, that defense is elite. That defense at Georgia is better than the Atlanta Falcons defense.
If that ain't the truth. Here's the thing, though. You know, that team that they beat 56-7, they're no pushover. I mean, I understand it's Conference USA, but UAB is no joke.
That's a solid bunch. That's going to upset some Power Fives. That is a solid team.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at Bill Clark. Bill Clark is getting looks. I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, his name was floated during our coaching search when we ultimately hired Sam. But, I mean, you don't get there by not being an excellent coach. That was an excellently coached team last night that just got in there and got outpowered by on talent alone. And, you know, again, you got to give it up to UAB as well, even though they just, like you said about Texas a moment ago, they just ran into a buzzsaw, man.
Buzzsaw, man. I mean, it happens.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does.
UAB, that's a solid team, man, from the scheduling, Georgia. You know, second game, they'll have a good season. They'll end up in a good bowl game.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, let's go on to another shocker yesterday. Number 3, Ohio State, in the shoe, loses to number 12, Oregon. A year ago, 2 years ago with Urban Meyer, this isn't even a discussion that it's possible. I don't know if you got to see it, but talk me through this. I mean, C.J. Stroud, 35 of 54 for 484, 3 touches and a pick. Anthony Brown, 2 touches, no picks. Oregon, without their 2 best offensive players, did this.
Man, you can have all the talent in the world in which Ohio State does. They're kind of the northern version of Alabama, if you want to say anybody's close geographically, but you got to have chemistry, Mike. You got to be able to play together. It's a young season. You know, if you ain't bought in and bought into your system, you're doing things consistently, doing it correct, you're susceptible to lose, you know. Let's make the lose. And we know Oregon has talent. They have Jesses and Joes. And they came in feeling, hey, we're just as good as them. We're just going to beat them at home. And that's what they did. And I think they probably overlooked Oregon with the whole Pac-12
deal. 12 thing, yeah.
In the mystique that they're not physical and all they want to do is score points. You can score all day on them. I think they overlooked them, Mike.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, you mentioned the stigma around the Pac-12 that they had fallen off and what have you. The Pac-12 is the truth, man. USC or Oregon is going to make the playoff. I'm calling it right now here in week 2. USC or Oregon will win or will make it to the college football playoff. I'm not going to say they're going to win, but somebody from that Pac-12, and I think those are the two that are likely to win a championship, yep, is going to make that playoff.
Oh, that's very real possible. Look out for UCLA as a dark horse too, because that team looked real physical against LSU. Real.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Chip Kelly, as finesse as what he is a coach, they outmanned freaking LSU.
Team.
And, you know, we'll get into it after we get through our top 10 here, but while we're talking about it, I've got to put this one in your ear. I think the difference between Sam Pittman and Ed Orgeron is the actual fact that Sam Pittman is willing to let his coordinators coach. I think Orgeron thinks he's a head coach, whereas Sam Pittman will admit, I'm going to let my offensive coordinator and my defensive coordinator do what they do best, and I'm just going to be the CEO of the team. I think that's the difference because they're both excellent fucking recruiters.
Oh, yeah.
You see where you are now.
It could be. I mean, I love Coach O, but, man, something ain't right. LSU has no excuse. With the abundance of talent, no excuse. They're like Texas. What's your excuse? It's not facilities. It's not money. It's not players. It's not recruiting areas or recruiting base. What's the problem?
And, I mean, Hurricane Ida, that excuse is only going to stretch so far. Coach O has got to at least get to a Cotton Bowl this year. And I don't think he's going to do it. Honestly, I expect Arkansas to beat LSU. I expect LSU to finish in the bottom half of the West. We'll put it that way. That's going to be a rough – it's going to be a rough season for Death Valley and LSU faithful. I think he got lucky with Joe Burrow landing in his lap.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was damn near season when he got there. He had played.
Exactly.
But you know what? It worked out for him. We can't take nothing away from that bunch or Coach O. I like him.
Exactly. Exactly. Hell, I'd take Coach O as a position coach.
I would love
there in Fayetteville.
You know, but it's football season, man. It's, you know, it's win or lose. It's win or go home. It's, you know, it's survival of the fittest, so. Best luck to him, just not against my team, and let's see what happens.
Okay, so next up we have Western Carolina Catamounts being blanked 76-0 in Norman from the Oklahoma Sooners. What are we thinking about Oklahoma? I mean, you see Oklahoma – and I know everybody wants to give Spencer Rattler all of this praise, and he's one of the best in the country, yada, yada, yada. Man, Spencer Rattler is the most up-and-down quarterback I've seen in college football.
I see some inconsistency there too, Mike, but I think that's more from the media heads and more from things from Baker Mayfield, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, you know, the whole mystique of the, you know, the Oklahoma quarterback now. So, you know, which is a lot of pressure. Now you step into those shoes. Guess what, Mike? You're expected to go undefeated. Hold up. Pre-SEC, because they're going to have to change that. You expect to go undefeated. You expect to win the Big 12 championship. And you expect to be in the college football playoffs every year. That's the pressure you have on you. You know, you can't lose to Kansas State and Iowa State and, you know, Baylor and
Yeah.
That's a pressure. That's a big-time pressure-packed position, Mike. So, yeah, I seen him. He's been up and down. They were screaming Heisman Trophy and this and that. Hell, he barely got it the first game.
I mean, and I would agree. And then yesterday he comes out 5 touchdowns. It'll be interesting to see him against Texas. I'll be honest with you. This is the interesting thing you've got to think of if you're an Oklahoma fan. Yes, you may be great right now, but you've got to start thinking. You've got to start looking ahead. 5 years from now, you're going to be facing Alabama week in and week out, Arkansas, LSU, and these SEC West teams. You got to wonder, what are they going to do there in Norman to get better. You know, Paul Feinbaum this week was asked, today was asked, does he think Texas will be ready? He said he does. He says he thinks that it's going to be that they're going to start now getting those, you know, more physical athletes just by using the, hey, we're going to be in the SEC here in a few years. They're going to start getting those athletes necessary. What do you think? What's the likelihood that both will be ready, or do you think only Oklahoma will be?
I think they'll come in and ready to compete. It's more so expectations. They have the athletes to come in and compete and hold their own, but a 7-5 in the SEC, Mike, is 11-1 in the Big 12, bro. You know, them 10-2s and 9-3s, I mean, you kind of got to change your expectations to the point where you know you're in a conference where you're in a division where four of them are in the top five or top 10. Come on, man. It's ridiculous. So understand, you got to compete in night in, day out, and that is a lot tougher. You know,
you're absolutely right. You cannot afford to take a week off in the SEC. You can afford it maybe in the Big 12. You can afford it, maybe not in the Big 10, but you can afford it in the Big 12, the Pac 16. Maybe you can take a week off.
Right.
Not in these big man leagues.
They're total defenses, man. Then they're winning in the trenches. If you can't run or stop the run, how you think you're going to win? And that's how Alabama dominates.
You're absolutely right.
Run the ball down your throat and they stop the run. They make you one-dimensional. Then they use these big physical athletes just to take over and wear you down. So, you know, you got to change your train of thought. I think they will. I think they'll be ready to compete. But it's still going to be an eye-opener, Mike. How do you think Texas fans and our Oklahoma fans were looking at that game last night? Like, wow. And believe it, that was a big stage for Texas to say, hey, yeah, Arkansas is a mediocre SEC team. Okay, we'll take that. But we're going to come in and show we belong in the SEC. Uh-uh. Nope.
You're right. I mean, once again, you're completely right. I didn't think of that aspect. But if you don't think Oklahoma Sooner fans were watching that game, not only to make fun of Texas, but to see what they get to look forward to here in 4 or 5 years,
believe that. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And speaking of teams from the Big 12 that cannot take a week off, woo, man, Texas A&M almost dropped one, too. A very, very good – I do not want you to get me wrong – a very well-coached Colorado team. They may not have the talent there yet, but watch out for Colorado in that Pac-12 here before too long. They're going to be in the conversation. This is a former Big 12 Big 12 game. But, yeah, they barely escaped. Zach Calzada, the big reason why they did escape, 18 of 38, 183, one touchdown. But that kid did not give up at all during that fourth quarter.
Did A&M starting quarterback get hurt?
Yes. That was Haynes King. He went 1 of 2 for 8 yards before he went down.
Hopefully he's okay. But, yeah, man, that was impressive. But I think Colorado's a lot better than people give them credit for. I think Bunch, you know, kind of, you know, embodies their coach. But come on, Mike, you A&M, you number five of the country. Did nobody on this planet expect you to beat them by 3 points and score 10 points? They got a lot of work to do.
Yep.
Hey, because I'm telling you this. It's a team that they beat, like, 8 years in a row. That's real hungry to get at them. So they better get it together.
Well, and that's what I was about to say. I mean, we're talking about the theme of this year so far has been struggle win. And that's the question I have for you. Is Texas A&M the number five team in the country, or is this a pretender?
You know what? It's early, you know, and I know we got a plan, so I don't want to cause no beef, but it's hard to say right now. You know, I think it's too early. I'm not going to say, put it like this. I'm not going to say pretender, but it's too early to call them a contender.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I hate it for Jimbo. This was supposed to be his year that he got it where it needed to be. But right now, it's not looking like he's going to be able to get it where it needs to be. And again, hats off.
They're still 2-0, so they're still.
They are. Hats off again, though, to Colorado. I mean, what they've been able to do, what that coaching staff has been able to do. Again, it wasn't an offensive explosion, but what these lesser teams are doing is they're making it a dogfight and they're getting it into that fourth quarter. And
it's all about giving yourself a chance.
Exactly.
Within reach or with the lead. I mean, you know, every game ain't going to be no blowout, man. Some of these teams, some games going to go back and forth. These teams are so evenly matched.
You know. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more College Football Rewind Show after this. Each and every Monday night, join the American Idiots podcast for a fresh look at the top headlines that are currently dividing our country. It's the American Idiots podcast only on Podcast Network 49.
Champions for a long time, Tony, simply because I'm the best there is. I got more women waiting for me in that hallway, quivering, shaking of the connections than you've met in the last 5 years. You know why? Because I just happen to be Slick Rick.
Join Michael and Aaron each week as they break down the most influential and sometimes downright hilarious pay-per-views in professional wrestling history. It's the Wrestling Wrap-Up Show, only for you on Podcast Network 49. Each and every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, join Michael Carnahan and Lisa O'Brien for the Clear and Convincing podcast, live on Podcast Network 49, where we look at the most infamous cases in our country's history, not from the court of public opinion, but from the court's perspective. It's the Clear and Convincing Show on Podcast Network 49. Each and every Friday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, join Podcast Network 49's newest host, Felicia Collins-Brogy, for Positivity with V, your weekly dose of positivity only on Podcast Network 49. It has never been any easier to keep up with all of your favorite podcast network 49 shows. If you're a fan of just listening along, you can always go to iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your favorite podcasts and subscribe. If you're more of a visual listener to our shows, go ahead and check out our Facebook and YouTube lives, or you can always go in and check out the archived content. Once again, it's never been easier to keep up with Podcast Network 49.
Here's Mississippi State up big in the second half. That ball is knocked out of the hand of Card, and that is being...
Here's Cooper, four-man rush for Florida State, going to cut it loose. Phil Yaw Johnson caught it inside the 10. Phil Yaw Johnson on his feet. He'll cut back, and Jacksonville State has won at the horn.
It's now time for the return of the College Football Rewind Show on Podcast Network 49, where we take a look at all of the best action from the previous week's college football slate, and we break it down for you, the fan. It's the College Football Rewind Show only on Podcast Network 49.
Does not have the leg, and Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15. 20,
25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis. Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. And we're back here on the College Football Rewind Show. Pettis, man, I'm telling you, struggle wins, struggle wins. But one team that did not struggle, the number six Clemson Tigers, after dropping one to Georgia in week one, come out and absolutely destroy South Carolina State 49-3. DJ Ugalele, I guess, 14-24, 171, one touch and a pick. We saw Tyson, and I'm not even going to try his last name, 7-10, 75 yards, a touch and a pick. Clemson hasn't figured out their quarterback issues yet, have they? They have not found the heir apparent to Trevor Lawrence.
No, definitely not. The young kid thing, I'm not going to butcher. The first one you mentioned.
DJ?
Yeah. He has all the measurables. He's a talented kid, tally. Played in the system, played on the first pick, Trevor Lawrence. So they're hoping he takes the reign, but he hasn't. I guess it just hasn't gotten there yet. So they have it, man. And I'm really thinking that Debo's smart. He's smart. He understands that his strength is his defense. So he's going to have a game manager back there. He's not going to ask too much of him. Guess what? Because it's in the numbers, Mike. Repeat his numbers again.
I mean, the kid is 14-24, 171, one touch and one pick.
He's not going to put the game on his back if not necessary. No. He'll play, you know, field position, ball control, offense, ball control, football, you know, flip the field, play with his defense, use his strengths. So, I guess until he gets to that point where you can trust him more, they'll play the strengths of their team.
Here's the thing that I'm wondering about this kid. I mean, this was a kid who – before he even stepped on the field, they were talking about him being the number one pick out of Clemson.
There we go, Mike, with that pressure again.
I mean, is that what it is? Do you think the pressure's getting to this kid?
I mean, he's not showing it personally, but we never know what's going on inside, man, when they close doors. But it's naturally pressure to be a successful college athlete. So it's hard to say that. It's not, you know, some embrace it, some run from it. But I think he's trying. I bet he's working his butt off. I bet he's a real smart kid. And I bet he's doing everything in his power to get over that hill, over that hump. So we'll see. But until then, you know.
Well, You know what I hate for this kid, but the comparison's there for me at this point, is Tua to his brother, Talia, and now DJ. I think that they thought that this kid was going to be just epic, like they thought that Tua's little brother was going to be this amazing next great Alabama quarterback, and we're learning that, you know, sometimes the hype just isn't there.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, pressure bust pipes, bro. You know, sometimes people are not up for it. Sometimes they've already peaked, you know. Sometimes, you know, they don't have a drive, you know. Who knows?
Now, obviously, at 49-3, this team's still very, very impressive in victory. What do you think the ceiling is for Clemson at this point? Do you think Clemson is a college football playoff team, or are they going to be on the outside looking in?
Well, we got to remember, Mike, they're ACC?
Yes.
Okay, they're arguably the best team in the ACC. We see Miami, ain't it?
Yeah.
We see North Carolina State just off Mississippi State. I mean,
North Carolina ain't no better.
They're going to push them as far as they can. They'll probably not lose another game in their conference. So, if they run the table, yes, to answer your question, yeah, they'll be in the college football playoffs.
Okay. Okay, absolutely. And I agree that they could be in. I could see them, though, also on the other hand, I could see them drop into a very good Virginia Tech team that a lot of people, you know, they're the team that defeated North Carolina.
Yeah, you can't sleep on Virginia Tech. You know what I'm saying? They've been on the cusp for a minute. So, you know, it could go either way. But this team has a history of, if they do lose a big game, they run the table, strong defense, make no mistakes, and get that quarterback a chance to develop.
Absolutely, absolutely. Number 7, Cincinnati, kind of a closet pick to make the playoffs this year. They're not far away from joining the new Big 12. 42-7 over Murray State. Desmond Ridder, 14 of 22, 243, two touches, no picks. Evan Prater comes in, 1 of 3 for 18 yards and a touchdown. Meanwhile, on the other side, Murray State, 17 of 29, 3 interceptions. Cincinnati is quietly putting together a squad, and it's very interesting to me. I would say that if a team from the American Conference is going to make the playoffs, it's going to be Cincinnati. You might want to watch them. You might want to watch them, in the words of Houston Dale Nutt.
Yeah, I've been paying attention to them since the bowl game last year. What were they playing? SEC school. They look pretty good, man. Cincinnati is has developed into a nice program. I like their style, man. So, yeah, Mike, you're right. It could be extremely dark horse, but, you know, it's can't lose a game. Let's get that out of the way.
No. Not the American.
And some of them have to be, let's face it, you hate to say it, some of them have to be blowouts.
Oh yeah, you're gonna have to be a very good style points type team to make it out of the American.
Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. It'd be real tough to do. Yeah, but if any team could do it, yeah, I could see Cincinnati doing it. They're not. Absolutely. I don't think they'll lose a conference game.
I don't either. Honestly, like Memphis isn't gonna do it. UCF isn't gonna do it. I mean, yes, UCF has Gus now, but UCF is still a while away from talent.
How does Houston look, Mike?
Houston, I'm not sure. I don't think Houston's that great this season, though.
Okay.
I don't think they're that great. I could be wrong, but I don't think they're that great this year. Okay, number 8, Notre Dame. Again, struggle, 29-32. Toledo almost went into Notre Dame and came out with a victory, man. 29-32. Jack Cohn, 21-33, 239, two touches and a pick. Carter Bradley, 17-27, 213. Notre Dame, to me, is like USC, like Texas. They're going to be ranked early on name recognition alone.
Yeah.
But later on, we find out, man, they're maybe not so good. Notre Dame, though, usually tends to get the favorability when it comes to the playoff. They tend to get that benefit of the doubt. I don't think Notre Dame looks like a playoff team. I'd choose Clemson over Notre Dame right now. obviously Clemson has the better loss if Notre Dame does lose.
Yeah, a lot of times with those schools, Mike, like you just said, the ranking don't match the play on the field, bro. Because they've been surviving by the skin of their teeth.
Absolutely.
There's some schools that they, let's face it, rebuilding Florida State school year two, Mike Norvell, they supposed to beat them. Not in overtime in that fashion. They didn't supposed to give all those points with this good defense they supposed to have. Toledo, come on, Mike. That goes without saying. Come on, man.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely pretenders.
It should have been a situation where I said something like 56-7.
Right.
Just like Cincinnati took care of business. And that's what I think the difference is some teams are taking care of business, some not so much. And we're going to see very quickly who the pretenders are in this season. And finally, College Game Day was in Ames this week. Iowa State I'm not going to say they laid an egg.
I'm shocked.
But they disappointed quite a bit. Brock Purdy, who was very highly touted coming into this season, 13-27, 138, three interceptions, no touchdowns. What did you make of that, man?
I couldn't believe it. I didn't see the game. I only had a chance to view some of the highlights, and I was very shocked. I thought this would be a four-quarter, whoever had the ball last, tight, slug-it-out game, especially against some state rivals like these two great programs. So I think Iowa State disappointed a lot of people. Anytime another fan is in another school disappointed, that's tough. But, yeah, I expected more from Iowa State, man. I really did. I thought they were going to, you know, have a chance to win that game in the fourth quarter. They got – you know, of course, the highlights, you know, you don't see the whole body of the game. And it looked lopsided on the highlights.
It absolutely did. I mean, Iowa State just came in and they out-physicaled Iowa State. Iowa, you know, they played Big Ten football. 21 carries for Tyler Goodson for 55 yards. Spencer Petraeus, the quarterback, 11 of 21, only 106 yards and a touchdown. It was all defense. It was Big Ten football at its finest on display. And right now, the Big Ten outmassed and outmuscled the Big 12 just like the SEC did last night.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give them credit. They look good. I would put on impressive. Especially against the team that, you know, all expected to give them a fight. But what must you say? I was saying.
Not at all. Not at all. So a few more scores from around the league or from around the country before we go. Penn State looking impressive. 44-13 over Ball State, the number 11 Nittany Lions. Keep your eye on them. Very good coached team. James Franklin had Vanderbilt rolling before he left there to take this Penn State job. Penn State may quietly be trying to sneak into a playoff conversation.
Yeah, I always loved Franklin since his days at Vanderbilt. I thought he's a great coach, a great motivator, and can recruit, you know. So
absolutely.
He's back at home. His ties are being, I don't know if he played for the world. I've always expected him to do great things to get on Humpty Penn State. And maybe it's the year, man. I mean, he's had a couple of seesaw years here and there, so maybe it's the year for him to
finally
be in the college football playoff conversation. Who knows, Mike? But yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Number 13 Florida gets it done against South Florida after a little bit of a scare, 42-20. What do you think about Florida, man? I don't think they figured out their quarterback situation yet. That number 15, the kid had a hamstring injury towards the end of the game, but man, he's looking damn good.
Mike, week two of a young season. A lot of these guys start. So, you know, they're still feeling the game. It's like coming from the college, the game is fast. You know, from college to NFL, the game has to slow down so they can read it and react instead of thinking and reacting. Because you do that, you're beat, or you're not where you're supposed to be.
Very true, very true. Number 14, USC, beaten at home by Stanford, 42-28. unranked Stanford basically runs USC out of the Coliseum. What do you make of that? Another situation like Notre Dame?
Mike, so much for USC representing. I guess you got to go with Oregon, man. I'm shocked. Who did Stanford lose to week one?
Hold on. Give me 1 second. Let me look here. Let me pull it up. Stanford lost to Kansas State 24-7.
So you mean to tell me it's a possibility that Kansas State is better than Stanford and USC?
Woo!
I know they're panicking. I know they're flipping out about that one.
I'm telling you this much. If they don't get their shit together, they're going to be looking for a new head coach because Clay Helton knows as good as anybody. He's on a very short leash. And, it won't take much for the Trojans to be.
They'll change coaches every year until they find the right one.
Exactly.
But, hold up, Mike. If he loses to UCLA, he's out.
Oh, I guarantee it. They dismissed Lane Kiffin on a tarmac. That dude won't even get on the bus to ride the 15 minutes back to SC's campus. Like, no, that won't happen. This dude will be fired immediately. Wisconsin, 34-7 winners over Eastern Michigan. Virginia Tech picks up the victory, 35-14 over Middle Tennessee. Ole Miss, 54-17 over Austin Peay. The Lane train rolling there in Oxford. Is it a little bit of a mirage, or is Ole Miss going to be good this season?
They can score points with the best of them. As we know, that number once SEC play starts is going to shrink. So what can your defense do and what kind of running game you got?
That's a good question. You know, they were great until they ran into Fayetteville last year. And, just saying, Lane, just saying. Appalachian State barely loses to Miami. You kind of referenced this one earlier, 25-23. Miami escapes in a season where they thought they were going to be in the playoffs.
Man, Miami more bark than bite, man.
That's what you got to say at this point about Miami. Miami's another one like Notre Dame, like USC, like Texas.
Yeah, come on, dude. Come on, man. Yeah.
They're going to be ranked, but they won't finish ranked. BYU, 26-17 winners over Utah. Utah, number 21, that's not going to happen any longer. BYU, again, looking pretty good without the quarterback.
Yeah, BYU's always tough, man. I'm not shocked. You know, they play a tough brand of football there in Utah. So.
Absolutely. And finally, number 25, Auburn, 62-0 over Alabama State. Did Auburn find the right formula in firing Gus Malzahn and hiring Brian Harsin?
I don't know, but I'm impressed with them thus far. Look like they're on track. You know, they do some good things with it. You know, it's hard to say when you like it, but your team's in the same division.
Very true. Very true. We'll talk after the Arkansas game. I'm telling you, Arkansas ain't making it to Atlanta this year, but Arkansas can play a hell of a spoiler this year.
Oh, yeah.
Still make a damn good bowl game.
Good bowl game and have a great season and just, you know, keep building until we can get to the point where we can get to Atlanta and win us one.
So let's talk about it. You know, the poll came out. We know both the college or the coaches and the AP polls, Arkansas ranked for the first time since 2016 following that big win over Texas last night. 24 in the coaches poll, 20 in the AP. Which do you think is more accurate? Do you think Arkansas is barely in there, or do you think Arkansas has a chance to stick around and make some noise in that top 25?
We got a chance to stick around and make some noise in the top 25. However, let's have the mentality that, you know, we're barely in there. We're not getting any respect. Let's have something to keep fighting for. Let's stay hungry, man.
Absolutely. I think if we keep that underdog mentality that Sam Pittman has done a hell of a job. Honestly, Sam Pittman has done the best job of coaching these young men and getting them ready since Houston Nutt. I mean, Houston Nutt could give that pregame speech and have guys ready to run through a damn wall for him, as evidenced with the win in his last Arkansas game against LSU. You know, he was able to get that big rah-rah speech, and we got it done that night. Sam Pittman's looking like he's the guy that can make that same speech.
Great teams embody their coach's mentality, man. You know, this is a hard-working, blue-collar team that's going to fight for everything, man, and be humble and appreciative, but going to come out and fight, man, no matter who's on the other side of the field. This guy win 8 games, you throw a good bowl game in a victory. 8-9 games, National Coach of the Year, man. How can you not? And I'm not putting the cart before the horse. I'm just saying the ability that this team has with this coach. So we'll see.
Well, and see, that's the thing. We got a little spoiled under Bobby Petrino, but here's the thing. I think what Arkansas fans need to do is exactly what I've heard for quite a few number of years now, and now I'm buying into it. We need to be happy with 6, 7, 8, 9 win seasons and, you know, occasionally 10, 11.
Mike, it's what? 13 other teams that has to. Why can't we?
Exactly. I mean, Arkansas's got this entitlement that I don't understand.
No, dude. I mean, you just want to be successful, have a good program, and get a shot at winning it every so often. You can't win it every year. You
can absolutely
go to a bowl every year.
It'd be nice to see Coach Pittman get us to Atlanta, though. I'd love it for the young man. Or, well, actually, he's not a young man, but I'd love it for him. Right. Anyway, that's pretty much everything I got for this week. You got anything left, Pettis, before we sign off?
Oh, man, not at all. Congratulations to all the teams that were victorious. Guys, keep fighting, and it's a long season.
Absolutely. Especially say that to the Ohio States of the world who are thinking the sky's falling. It's a long season. Somebody could slip up in front of you, and you're right back in the talk. But for Mike Pettis, I am Money Mike. We will see you next week on the College Football Rewind Show.
Now here's Mississippi State up big in the second half.